Campus Chronicles is the ultimate podcast for college students seeking real stories, honest advice, and empowering insights to thrive in student life and beyond. Hosted by Brooke Young and the Campus Chronicles team, this weekly show features inspiring interviews, practical tips, and conversations that tackle the challenges, wins, and personal growth that comes with university life. Perfect for college students, campus leaders, and young adults looking to make the most of their journey, one episode at a time. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube, and join the community redefining what it means to thrive in university. Denise, I am tremendously happy to have you here. As we dive in, what is your Campus Chronicles story?
Well, Brooke, I'm going to tell you my route of first being in college was not the same route as everyone else. I started later in life, but I want to read something that I read to my son when he started college. So if everyone, I want to read it correctly. So I'm going to read it from the paper. It's Life by F. Scott Fitzgerald. And in his dorm room, I read this. For what it's worth, it's never too late, or in my case, too early, to be whoever you want to be. There is no time limit. Stop whenever you want. You can change or stay the same. There are no rules to this thing. We can make the best or the worst of it. I hope you make the best of it, and I hope you see things that startled you. I hope you feel things you never felt before. I hope you meet people with a different point of view. I hope you live a life you're proud of. And if you find that you're not, I hope you have the courage to start all over again. And I just got chills reading that because every year that he was in college, I wish someone would have read that to me, you know, but I read that to him every year since then when he in 2021, he was in the COVID college days. So we have a lot that we could talk about. So that's my Campus Chronicles story.
Well, thank you for your mom wisdom. I think Yes. We can all take some good mom wisdom sometimes.
Yes, absolutely.
Denise, there is something so beautiful about your story of losing your voice and finding it again. For me, my voice is a huge part of my identity because I'm a professional voice user. I'm a broadcaster, I'm a singer, and I can't imagine the emotions you went through losing your voice. For those that are not aware, tell the story.
Okay, so in May 2006, I am a speech language pathologist. That is my profession. And in 2006, I was in a car accident, which triggered a neurological voice condition called spasmodic dysphonia. I still do not have a voice. What you're hearing now is my Botox injections giving me the voice because my vocal folds spasm and the Botox kind of paralyzes them so we can speak. So that was very ironic for someone who is in a field or a profession that you have to help others with their speech, losing my voice. So that was a very heavy time in my life.
What emotions did you go through realizing you didn't have a voice?
I think what happens first, so it kind of gradually crept up. It wasn't like an immediate, oh my goodness, I just lost my voice. Over time, it started becoming choked and hard to phonate. So then there's the process of not really understanding what you have. You know, that's another thing to discuss. Maybe you don't know what's going on. So I really didn't know at first, but then going to the professionals and doctors thinking, I had acid reflux, it's in your mind, you're having that. And then I said, I've been in school. I know what's going on. I am not able to make sounds. So that whole journey of, you know, you don't know what you don't know, but you have to, my point that I want to make to the listeners is that you must listen to your gut instinct, because if I didn't listen to myself, we may not be here today having this conversation.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so important because it's really easy to set aside your intuition and to set aside your gut feeling, especially when professionals and people are telling you, to your point, it's in your mind. And your voice, being that it's your profession, but it's also our way of expressing ourselves. It's our way of connecting and having community with other human beings. Did you feel, as you went through this period of vocal loss, did you feel isolated? What was going on in your mental health?
So that I wanted to talk about that. So during that time, I had a son, he was 6 years old. So, you know, you kind of have to move around it because you're raising a child, so you're the example. And I personally had to push through it because I was going to work every day as well. So I didn't have time to really, I didn't have time to always think about it. So I think that was a good thing that I had a lot of things that I needed to do and I made them the forefront of it. I made them my light to get through it. But there was some envy times because it was very frustrating when people couldn't understand me or people trying to, like, at work, they didn't understand. And then for myself, actually wrapping my head around that I have a disability. I have a voice disorder. But, you know, sometimes you don't want to accept something. But I worked with students who had disabilities. So there's a reason that this synchronicity happened so I could actually help them more and help them better.
Did you struggle to accept it at first?
Oh, of course. You know, what is this? Why me, right? Everyone wants to say, why me? But why not me? Look at all the things.
That's actually a powerful question. Why not me?
Why not me? Look at all these powerful things that came to me and through me because of it. But if I didn't look for it, I wouldn't have found it. So that's another thing the listeners need to know. Yes, it was heavy. Yes, I was annoyed. But if I didn't have this voice disorder, I wouldn't have created all these things that I have created up until this point.
Based on what you said, I have a curiosity question. What have you learned about yourself through having the voice disorder that you didn't know before you got it?
Well, I didn't know how powerful I was.
Mm.
I'm pretty powerful. Yeah, and I don't mean power where you take people down. I mean power within myself, power to overcome, courage to heal. You know, healing is a process. So I didn't know I had all that strength or self-love. Self-love is what got me through this. I do talk about that. I think, you know, you think that someone could get you through something. Like, I always believed that it was my son that got me through the dark times of not having my voice. But no, it was my self-love. Without self-love, I would have never gotten through it. So that's a key, another key element. Self-love first, because that's how you will find the glimmer of light.
So you would say self-love was your compass?
Yes, but I didn't know. That's another thing. I did not know that I was really practicing self-love. When I look back now and I review everything that I did, of course, but I didn't know it at the time. I would say, oh, I'm doing this for my son. Oh, I'm doing this for the students. No, it was about self-love of me.
What were the things you were doing that were acts of self-love, essentially?
So first, I do love music. Music is a healer. Music is a tool. Music is universal. Music soothed my soul. It helped my brain. So mind, body, and spirit. People don't realize that music is not just, well, it's an art form, but it's also scientifically based. There's, you know, the intonations of sounds and the vagus nerve in your brain. There's the cranial nerves in your brain, and the vagus nerves controls all of from your head to your gut. So these things are so important to know that music, art form is beautiful, but the other scientific rhythms, the beat, even think about the heartbeat in the womb, the heartbeat. There's something to be said. So music was one of the tools. Another tool, how I knew I was using self-love, is I would smile at myself every morning. It may sound wacky. I don't know what we want to call it. But even to today, when it was so hard, because imagine I'd have to get up in the morning and I put my feet on the ground because I had to get myself to school and then get to work where they really didn't want me there. Sounds sad, but they were trying not to have me stay there because I had to fight to stay there. But that's another whole story. But get to the self-love. So I would sit up, I'd smile at myself, and then I'd get there and I'd smile all day long. Was that tiring? Yes, but that smiling changed the endorphins and the dopamine in my brain. So that was another component of self-love. So the music, the smiling, and then mindfulness, you know. I wrote a book, Moments in Motion with Love. It's all about being present. And you cannot be present without even, you have to take a moment to be present. So all of those things gave me the strength to move on and the courage.
Denise, you make me smile. And to your point about mindfulness, I'm sure you had so much time to explore your inner world that maybe you weren't slowed down enough or quiet enough to hear before.
Exactly. Yes. And not, you know, even if you're not speaking, we always are thinking and our minds are always racing, right? So we have to slow down the mind, slow down the pace. And yes, mindfulness is everything. I believe that I was able to develop that because of everything I was going through. It takes a process. Well, people, you know, they throw that word around, mindfulness, social emotional learning. It's a big buzzword, but it is a tool that you have to learn to use. It just doesn't happen. It's not just an immediate thing. Oh, I'm mindful today. No, you have to really practice mindfulness.
You have to choose mindfulness. To your point,
yes.
Moment by moment, you can start the day quite mindful. And then if something goes wrong, you can shift to an extremely unmindful state pretty quickly. It's something that you choose mm-hmm. in those moments of your life where you could go down either path. And I don't think we discuss that enough.
No, absolutely. Yes, you have to make that choice. You're choosing. And then like I read with about life, you make choices and you could change and you could do better. So yes.
As a singer, I love to hear that music was such a big part of your healing journey because you guys are going to get to see the really geeky part of Brooke Young. I've studied singing my entire life, and I know that from my experience, from what I know about singing, if I am anxious, if I'm tense, if I'm tight, if I'm angry, and I go and warm up and I sing, there is an immediate difference to the way that I feel, to the way that my body feels, to the way that I process. Music is so healing. How did music aid your journey? And was there specific music?
I would say, so certain songs, now I talk about this a lot, that I have a chapter in a book called Let It Be. I'm part of a collaborative book called Magnificently Made, where I talk about my journey with the music. So certain songs would... the words, the lyrics, I would actually have to go back and read them. Like, it's amazing. Not just the music itself, the poetry, the someone's writing down their emotions and how it was hitting me. So certain songs like Brave by Sarah Bareilles or Let It Be by the Beatles, Fighter, because I was fighting a lot, right? There was a lot of fighting going on. Fighter by Christina Aguilera. I was driving home one day from a bad day of work, from really feeling down that the administration really didn't get it. You know, they didn't see that I had a disability and that they needed to compensate me. And I heard this song and I said, yes, thanks for making me a fighter. They made me a fighter. I had to fight for my life. And I am so happy that I did, because I have so much work to do and so many things that came to me that if I would have let them take me down, maybe this world wouldn't be getting all this great stuff that I want to share.
Did you notice that you felt differently about music after going through this? Did you notice you paid more attention?
Yes, I did. Not only did I, like I said, I paid attention. If a song hit me, I was always reading the words of the song now. I even incorporated it into my lessons, because for children with speech and language needs, it opens up a whole world, because it was fun, right? Music's fun. I would take a song, so if they were working on, let's say, stuttering or disfluency, they would be able to breathe and we would sing the song. It worked on a whole other level of breath support. And then for other students who didn't want to read or didn't want to, you know, they were resistant to some things, but music bridged such a gap because they loved it. And for me, I always looked at it different. I always loved music. I believe I was a musician in my other life somewhere. I don't know. I believe somewhere I was a singer, a songwriter. I was working that board. I was doing something. And my son plays every instrument and he could sing. So I think I wanted to infuse it in him because of my love for it. So yeah, it's something, and I did feel it differently. I felt it more within my body as opposed to, you know, just people externally. I took it in.
For university students, they're feeling so many emotions, but a lot of times you're isolated from your family. You're isolated from your childhood friends, the people that are your support group. Finding support in music is such a beautiful concept because all you need to do is find songs that resonate for you, songs that make you feel the emotions that sometimes you are even avoiding. I know music does that for me. Mm-hmm. What advice do you have regarding finding songs that speak to you? And when you do find those songs that do speak to you, what do you do with it?
So I, you know, it's funny that you're saying this because I created a program based on my book, you know, Mind, Body, and Spirit. So there's one part of it that's about music, how music heals you. And I had the students make their own daily playlist. So now I guess they were ahead of me. They were ripping out their phones, showing me all their songs. I was like, oh, you have playlists. I said, but let's dive deeper. Let's pick songs like what, when you feel angry, what music do you want to listen to? When you feel so excited, what do you want to listen to? When you're remembering a family member or someone who you've lost. So I gave them these prompts to infuse the song. So this way they could go to those for those emotions and feelings that were going on within them. So I thought that was a great thing for a playlist for your emotions.
You know, I can imagine. I love that concept. I'm shocked I've never come up with it myself, but I can think if you're going through a breakup, a particular playlist for that. If you're even, let's get real, if you're feeling ignored or misunderstood, you could really get quite niche with this and have as many playlists as you need to feel seen. Because a lot of times, if you don't feel seen by others, the first step is to feel seen by you.
Exactly. So yeah, this was something, you know, I came up with it because of the need for myself. I then forwarded it to others, and they just, you know, young students just ate that up. They were loving it, and they couldn't believe. They're like, wow. And I like the step further of taking it. You're breaking up with someone. Let me make a whole breakup list. You know, like on Spotify, you make your playlists. Now we'll be making music healing playlists on our Spotify.
What advice do you have around finding songs that resonate?
Oh, okay. So like I said, when I was feeling, you know, dark, because there were dark times, you know, you have to have dark to find the light. Dark and light are kind of, you know, opposite polar, but without the dark, you can't find the light. So you do need some darkness to really find the light. So I think when I really liked a song, you know, it's funny. I did a talk about a song. So there's the song, Put a Little Love in Your Heart. But everybody likes the rhythm. Put a little love. I can't sing, but you can. Put a little love in your heart. And the world will be a better place for you and me. Can't you see? But when I read it to them, people started crying. Like, the power of music is way beyond the scope of the beat. You know, we love the beat. The beat makes us ooh, ooh, ooh. But when I read those words, the woman came to me, she goes, I didn't know those words were in that song. I always liked it, but I didn't know why. I said, so my advice to anyone who's listening to music or likes a song, why did that song hit you? And are the lyrics going to talk to you further? Will the lyrics speak to you? Or maybe then you won't like it. You might not like it. You might not. You might say, oh, well, what were they trying to say? So it's not a bad thing to come be in touch with things that you don't like as well. You're allowed to not like something.
I believe it was Adele this is attributed to, but I could be wrong. And I may be wrong. Something along the lines of music really speaks when, and I'm struggling to come up with the quote, but basically music speaks when there's nothing else left to say, right? And Adele has said that much more gracefully than I said that. Do you agree in your experience and in your journey that music was a form of communication for you when you didn't know how to communicate?
I think it was a therapy. I believe I used it as a therapy, and I believe it definitely bridged that gap when there was no way to communicate. It bridged something within me with others. I used it with my students. I think it did so much. Even being with my son, you know, I would play music, and I think I used it, even though, you know, you have to look back and say, wow, I did do that. You know, I used music as my healer.
Mm-hmm. Now I have a challenging question for you. Are you up for it?
I'm up for it. I'm up.
Okay. I like to see it. So if you were going to give three pieces of advice to university age students, what would those three pieces of advice be?
Okay. So I would first say, always believe in your gut feeling. Trust your gut. Number one, if you think it's wrong, it's wrong. Number two, have fun. Not too much fun. Have fun.
Have responsible fun.
Have responsible fun. Be joyful. Be joyful. Joy doesn't cause problems. Joy is just within, you know, your childlike behavior. Be joyful. And like I said, the last one is things will happen and things can change. Have the courage to move forward. So yeah, so those three things.
I found your message very healing today for two reasons. Number one, I went through a physical change recently that I had a very hard time accepting. And then secondly, as somebody who has loved music, it's so hard to explain what it does for your body and what it does for your soul. And to hear on this much bigger level than I've experienced what it's done for you is exactly what I wanted to convey to students, is that music, even if you feel alone, you feel isolated, you really are not, because music is there with you. And there are people that have felt your feelings before that have turned them into an art.
I love that so much. We were meant to be in this conversation today because the world is fragile and we need to have the self-love. You know, that's the way to get through it. Find the light, self-love, because you can't love anyone else without loving yourself. There's mm-hmm. no way. There is no way. So music is a self-love healer.
Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful tool that can be used in really any circumstance.
I love that. I love that we're talking about it, because that it really is what healed me. It really is. And, you know, people might say, oh, try it. I'm going to give them a challenge. Try it. Try it out.
Mm-hmm. Whatever resonates for you, try it and see what it does. And I want to say,
make your playlist.
Yes. Make your playlist and get as niche as you want to get. Get as crazy as you want to. I want to say thank you for sharing just the depth and the vulnerability of your story today. If someone wants to follow you on socials, where do they go?
Okay, so Instagram is the thing for the college. You know, I'm not on TikTok. Sorry, college students. No, I'm not TikToking. But Instagram, Denise Stott.
She's Instagramming, though.
Instagramming, which I do like Instagramming, because you can learn a lot. So it's Denise Stott Caesar. It's my name. It's Caesar. You'll see C-E-S-A-R-E. It's Cesare, but Caesar.
And we'll put it in the show notes, you guys, if you struggle with spelling like me.
Yes. And then I also have Fits Everybody. I am also about empowering women and feeling good in the skin that they're in. So I'm on Fits Everybody, too. You can find me on Facebook, Denise Caesar, or Moments in Motion with Love, which is my book that's all about the mindfulness. So yes, but my website would be a good place to see everything that I'm doing, denisecaesar.com.
Yes, the website sounds like the perfect place for everyone to go.
It's the perfect place, exactly, because you could find everything. You can find
it's nice and easy.
Like easy, yeah.
I like easy too. Well, thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing this and just having this beautiful conversation with me. I know I and all of our listeners appreciate it.
Before we go, can I do my belief poem with you so everyone can take this with them if they listen back? So I have in my book, there's a belief poem, because I affirm the reader, but if you don't believe it, it's not going to stick, about the self-love we talked, right? So here we go. Believe. I am loved. I am light. I am courage. I am bright. I am brave. I am so important in this moment, and all of you are.
Thank you for sharing that. Those words are nourishing. They're beautiful.
It's part of my book, and I'll have to get you one. And anyone who listens here, if they want to reach out, I'll get them. If they want to send me their email, I'll send them a bookmark.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
I will send them a bookmark.
Well, thank you for coming on and sharing with us. I know all of our listeners appreciate it. And thank you so much, everybody, for listening to another episode of the Campus Chronicles podcast. So if today's episode gave you life, perspective, or just a much needed moment to breathe in a busy world, I don't want you to keep it to yourself. Share it, tag us, please send it to a friend who needs to hear it. And if you're not on our newsletter yet, what are you doing? Go to campuschroniclespod.com and join the crew. We have all the behind the scenes things, unfiltered thoughts from me and the team, bonus resources, and insider only invites to events, giveaways, and things that we really don't post anywhere else. I promise I'm not going to spam you. It's just the good stuff straight to your inbox. Being in university is wild enough. You don't need to miss out on what matters. Sign up now and let's make this next semester the one that you stop surviving and start thriving. Until next time, stay bold, stay curious, keep writing your own chapter. This is Campus Chronicles.